Let's start again. Hello. If you are a parent and have brought your children here this morning, you'll be so pleased to know that you are the light of their lives. They thank God for you. You should be pleased about that. How lovely that in all the melee and the confusion and the words of rebuke and telling them off and telling them what to do and what not to do, you are still the light of their life. God has given you that wonderful blessing of those children. And we take on that responsibility of your children, at least for a Sunday morning. And as a church, we want to just recommit ourselves to God in welcoming these children and in caring for them. And we thank God for people like Rosie and Donna who speak with the children and care for them and put so much preparation time and energy into it. So, Father God, we want to thank you for these young lives that you have given us. Father, in our hearts, we want to thank you for the responsibility you've given us, daunting though it might be. But we praise you that we have so much to give, so much out of our hearts and lives of love, just as you have given us everything out of your heart and life of love. So, Father, we ask that we might be able to bless these children for your glory and for your purposes in their lives. Amen. I'd like to invite just two people to come and share the reading of God's word with me this morning. We're going to be reading from Psalm 89. If you've got a Bible, it would be lovely if you open that up to Psalm 89. And are there two people who would just like to come and share the reading of God's word with me this morning? Thank you, Ken. One other. I believe there is a great blessing in the reading of God's word, and Paul is gingerly putting his hand up. Thank you, Paul. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to Psalm 89. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. It should be easy to find. Psalm number 89. And Ken, if you would like to read verses 1 to 6, okay? And Paul, if you would read verses 7 to 13, 1 to 6, 7 to 13, and I will finish. If you're ready, it's starting at verse 1. Thank you, Ken.
I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings?
In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. About Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand is exalted.
And this reading finishes, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. O Lord. Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege of reading your word this morning. Thank you for my brothers who have stood with me to publicly proclaim the truth of your word. And we ask that you will bless us all as we seek to hear what you say through your word to us, written so many thousands of years ago, but still relevant and important for us in the 21st century. Thank you, God Most High. Amen. Thank you. If the Bible is not something that you read on a regular basis, you might think that a lot of the words that we read in the Bible are very unusual, strange. And that's not surprising because this was written thousands of years ago. And I'm so pleased in a way that the translators of the Bible have tried to translate it in such a way that we have the original meaning and the original feeling in the words. Because in translation, I've never seen it, but there is a film, isn't there, Lost in Translation. Well, so much could be lost in translation. And we might find it difficult sometimes to understand some of the words. I'm not going to explain everything to you. I just want to take this one verse that Aaron referred to earlier and hope that by God, by his spirit with us here this morning, we'll be able to reveal something of what these words mean to us. I've got no fancy PowerPoint this morning, just God's word open before you. And I would suggest that's more than enough for you. It's more than enough for me. Blessed are those who acclaim you, says God's word. We're so ready, aren't we, to clap. Clap when somebody has a birthday, clap when somebody is winning a race, clap when perhaps your football team scores a goal. Some of us will clap more than others. We applaud, we sing when we are joyful. And I would suggest that the greatest thing that we can applaud and clap is the knowledge of forgiveness from God and the release from the penalty of sin and the sheer joy, the overwhelming joy of knowing that God is with us to transform us. And this guy, Ethan, we don't know much about him. We do know he was a pretty brainy sort of guy. If he was living today, he'd probably be the chairman of Mensa. But more than that, he was not only intelligent, he's described as a wise guy. We sometimes use that phrase, don't we, to be a little derogatory, a wise guy. But here really was a wise guy, a guy who was on the second rung just below King Solomon, who is described as the wisest man that has ever lived. And Ethan, what did he do? In his wisdom, he decided he would use the first 14 verses of this psalm of his, to praise God's goodness and God's greatness and God's faithfulness and God's gentleness and God's awesome power. If you were a teenager in the 1960s, I know that's a bit of a stretch for some of you, you may remember a pop group called The Troggs. Anybody remember The Troggs? Well done. You're showing your age and we're wearing well. The Troggs wrote and sung a song called Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. We could perhaps get Richard to do so. He would do it justice, but I certainly wouldn't. Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing. And I would want to suggest to you that the things that make our hearts sing are the important things to us. And Ethan here was saying, these are the things that make my heart sing. God in all his greatness, God in all his awesomeness, God in all his justice, and sometimes God in all his judgment is a God that I can fully trust in. A God that I can live my life for and with. I want to ask you a question. What makes your heart sing? I throw it out there. I throw it out as a a rhetorical question, but I want you to think about that. Are the things that make your heart sing the things which are good, the things which are beneficial, the things which are right? I would suggest that it's your heart that where all your character and your feelings are, and the sense of your worth and purpose. And there will be things in your life, things that you have experienced in life, that makes your heart sing. Ethan says, these are the things that make my heart sing. And most of all for us, that which will make our heart sing the loudest and the strongest and the longest is a sense of the presence of God in our lives. Not just that warm, cozy feeling that God, isn't it lovely to have a God who loves me, but a God who comes into our lives and helps us to recognize the people that we are and the people that he wants us to be, the people that he has designed us to be. And I would want to suggest to you that the most amazing thing that will make your heart sing is the wonder of forgiveness. We've mentioned this before, haven't we? When you are forgiven, what a wonderful feeling. When you've done something wrong and you say, I'm sorry, and they say, that's okay, I forgive you. The sheer feeling of relief and release and joy and freedom comes over you. And the most overwhelming sense of forgiveness will come when God, our Creator, says to us, you've confessed your sinfulness to me, I forgive you. I would suggest that this is the greatest thing that will make your heart sing. And if that's never something that you've ever considered in your life before, there are so many people here who want to stand with me and say, yes, this is the greatest thing in my life. God's forgiveness, God's peace, God's presence, God's strength, God's leading, God's guiding, the very presence of God. The daily miracle of that presence in my life is what makes my heart sing. We might not be very good at singing, but our hearts can sing. Your lips might not move, but your life will show what's in your heart. It's true, isn't it, that what's in your heart is usually seen on your face. I hope that what makes your heart sing this morning will be the presence of Jesus in his forgiving power. Ethan wrote, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. It's something that we learn. It's something that we learn by experience. It's something that we learn day by day as we allow God to live within us. And as we learn, then he says, blessed are those who walk in the light of your presence. This might seem rather strange. Walking is something that we do intentionally, isn't it? We decide to walk from here to there. We decide to walk away from danger. We decide to walk towards safety. We walk with purpose to accomplish something. We will walk out of here to our cars to go home. We will walk from here into the back hall to have coffee and have fellowship with one another. We walk with purpose. And Ethan realized that those who are blessed who walk purposely, purposefully, in the light of your presence. There's a couple of verses that came to me when I was thinking through this verse. And one of those is that verse I've mentioned before, but it's so precious, I want to remind you. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How lovely that God's word shows us where I am standing. It might be a good place, it might be a not so good place. God's word shows me where I'm standing. It is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. It shows me where I'm standing, and it also shows me where I should walk. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And another verse which I would love you to get to grips with is John 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." How lovely that when we walk with God, his light shines and illuminates our life. We can be influenced for good or for bad, can't we, by others. We can walk in other people's light. You might have a hero and you think, "I wish I could be like them." Or we have great people that we admire and we think, "Aren't they great? I would love to be able to do what they do." Heroes are great if they encourage us and move us to be great people ourselves. But we can be influenced for good and for bad. And so by walking with God, our Creator, we find that we're walking in the light that he provides. He's created us. He's given us the light to be able to live our lives for him. And he wants to be that daily illumination in our lives too. Blessed are those who walk in the light of your presence. Literally, what Ethan wrote was, "Blessed are those who live in the light of your face." Over these next couple of weeks, I shall be invigilating in a series of examinations in school. And invigilators are a presence. They are a face looking down on the students. We are there to be the presence which ensures fairness. We're there to watch for cheating. We are also there to provide a wonderful environment and atmosphere in which the students are able to answer the questions and to complete their exam. And one of my great joys is that while I'm doing that, while I'm walking up and down the rows, making sure that they haven't brought in notes that they've hidden on their hands or their arms or in their pockets or in their pencil cases, and while I'm watching out that they don't talk to each other, I'm also able to pray for them. I'd just like to do a very quick plug, a 15-second commercial. If you would like to be an invigilator, a Christian invigilator who can bring a sense of God's purpose and be able to pray as you walk up and down, praying with your eyes open, a discipline which I've learned in recent years, it would be lovely to see that. If you're interested in doing that, just come and talk with me afterwards. I find it such a joy. I find it such a blessing to be that presence for those students. Several years ago, we were at our daughter's house, when our daughter Jo, when the children were quite young. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but I really believe it bears mentioning again to help you and to remind me and to remind you. We were in the home with the grandchildren, and Jo said to one of the children, I forget which one it was, she said, "Look at me, I want to tell you something." What she wanted to do was for the child to look and see her face of love, her face of seriousness, her face of intention. There was something important that she needed to tell them, and she wanted them to look at her. And that's what Ethan in this psalm was saying. Blessed are those who learn to live in the light of your face. How often in our lives do we walk and we're able, in our hearts thinking and in our minds, able to recognize that God is looking at me, and for me to be able to look at God. How do I look at God? We look at God by reading his word, don't we? We've done that this morning. We've just had a little window into the heart of God and into the mind of Ethan, the psalmist here this morning. when he was speaking about God. Ethan was able to look at his memory, the face of God, and say, yeah, this is the God in whom I trust. And he was saying, I want you to be able to look into the face of God. That can be a very sobering experience, can't it? When we look at God, we can be reminded of our sinfulness. We can be reminded of our shortcomings. We can be reminded that we're really not the people that we ought to be. And Ethan said, when you come and face God, it is a challenge, but I would want to suggest to you that it's the most rewarding challenge you will ever do. Because when you come and you look directly at God through his word, or in your prayer life, or when you are busy in life and you're really praying, God, be with me today, help me in this, provide the answer that's right for me. When we look at God through his word and through our prayer life, we are able to see God's face of love. And I would want you to learn that that is possible today. God is not just some airy-fairy idea that we think is up there somewhere. People, when they think about God, they often do that, don't they? They think he's up there. God is so personal and so present to those who love him and trust him that he's right in your face. When somebody's in your face, it's usually rather confrontational and aggravating, and you don't like it. You say, they were so in my face. But I would want to suggest to you that when God comes and looks us in the face, he does it out of love. Not just a pitying love, but a transforming love. Because Ethan here in this psalm said, those who walk in the light of your presence are blessed. There is benefit, there is blessing, there is purpose, there is transformation when we walk as God wants us, when we live when God wants us to live. Then that shows that God's heart of love is not just a weak love, it's a strong love, it's a transforming love. I hope that you will be able to just take that deep breath from time to time and say, Lord, I really want to see you face to face. I know that it's going to be painful sometimes because things might have to change in my life that are not right. There might be changes that need to happen because I know that's what's right. It might necessarily be between bad and good. It might be between that which is right and that which is second best. Had you ever thought that you could face God face to face? Well, of course, our Bibles would tell us that God is a spirit. We can't see God physically. Of course, that's right. We will never see God physically. God is spirit. But we do see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful truth that we can hold with us, that as we walk, the God we see is the God that we see in Jesus. And that's why our Bibles are so full of the person of Jesus. I hope you will be one of those who are blessed because you have learned to acclaim God, to sing his praise, to make a joyful sound, just like we've been doing this morning, and that you will be blessed because you walk in the light of God's presence. Will you be the one today who learns to acclaim God and walk in the light of his presence? I want to suggest to you that there is nothing, absolutely nothing greater. Nothing will excel this. Nothing will top this. Nothing will give you greater joy and peace and satisfaction in being able to live in the light of God's presence and follow him and serve him and praise him and worship him and work for him and be his disciple and be his minister and be his hands and his feet and be his heart of love in the world today. If following God is never really something that you have thought of before, we would just love to share with you our experience of what it means to be a Christian and to follow Jesus and to have him in our lives. And we are still learning. We've still got the L plates on. We will continually have the L plates on the back until we get to heaven. But we're learning what it is to live in the light of God's presence. Our hope is that you will be able to do that too. And we would love to share that with you. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, even though it might pull us up short. Thank you, even though it might rebuke us. Thank you, most of all, that it points us to you. Thank you, most of all, that through it we can learn of your love that transforms us and makes us people who are living purposeful lives as you have designed them. Father, help us in our desire to follow you. We thank you that as we make that step towards you, you make that step towards us in love. And we want you to do that for us today. Amen. We're going to turn to a time of communion. We regularly do this as a group of Christians. We love to proclaim what Jesus has done for us. We love to say that his work on the cross was not just an historical event. It was something that has significance in history and it has significance in eternity. And we do this because it speaks of what has happened and it speaks that there is coming a time when we'll never have to do this again because Jesus will be with us in person.